From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Yesterday, Dr. Cairns began his final message in this series on the 8th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. In the previous message, he began to deal with verses 31 through 39 under the theme of looking at every fact and facet of life through the lens of the gospel. He reminded us that the entire chapter is an exposition of verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In verse 31, the apostle asks a question. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In answer, Dr. Cairns presented 5 certainties of sovereign grace, which Paul sets forth in the concluding verses of the chapter. These are the truths that God is for us. He has delivered up His Son for us. He has justified us in Christ. Christ has performed a complete work for us. And because of that, nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. In the light of those glorious truths, there are precious consequences that follow for all of Christ's redeemed people. First, there is no more subjugation to the devil's domination, nor can any man succeed ultimately in his opposition to God's children. God is working all things, even the things that appear to be against us, for our good and for His glory. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled, 5 Consequences of the Certainties of Sovereign Grace. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Blessed in the Field. The text is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. So was Isaac blessed when he walked therein at eventide to meditate. How often has the Lord met us when we have been alone? The hedges and the trees can bear witness to our joy. We look for such blessedness again. So was Boaz blessed when he reaped his harvest, and his workmen met him with benedictions. May the Lord prosper all who drive the plow. Every farmer may urge this promise with God, if indeed he obeys the voice of the Lord God. We go to the field to labor as Father Adam did. And since the curse fell on the soil through the sin of Adam the first, it is a great comfort to find a blessing through Adam the second. We go to the field for exercise, and we are happy in the belief that the Lord will bless that exercise and give us health, which we will use to His glory. We go to the field to study nature, and there is nothing in a knowledge of the visible creation which may not be sanctified to the highest uses by the divine benediction. We have at last to go to the field to bury our dead. Yea, others will in their turn take us to God's acre in the field. But we are blessed, whether weeping at the tomb or sleeping in it.
Darkness, I hear, make a thing, O God.
Often see the word revival on a church marquee, and yet what really constitutes revival? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America, associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. A common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the western coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. At that time, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. And yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying out for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak makes available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Now, as the result of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, in that day of the manifestation of the sons of God, once again, we have perfect souls, in perfect bodies, in a perfect environment, in perfect fellowship with the living Christ. This is the destiny of the people of God. In the light of all that, Paul says, we know something. We know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that God has started this whole movement to bring us to glory. We know that He has sent Christ. We know that Christ has lived. We know that Christ has died. We know that Christ has risen. We know that He's ascended back to glory, the forerunner of His people. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We know that we are the sons of God, adopted to be made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We know that, and therefore we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God. And we know it because of the eternal purpose of God. This is why it bothers me that so many Christians want to turn the sovereign electing purpose of God into a theological football, something to be kicked all over the place and to be made simply a matter of stupid, bitter, mindless controversy. And that's true on both sides of the aisle, by the way. There are people who are so bitter that they miss the entire joy of God's eternal purpose. How do we know that all things are working together for good? Because we're called according to His purpose. What is His purpose? Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Sealed, signed, and delivered. The security of the saints of God. Now Paul says, what shall we say to these things? You can't just say these things and shrug your shoulders and go on as if you said it's sunny or it's wet. You can't just say these things, shrug your shoulders, so what? If these things are true, these are the most earth-shattering statements and truths that we can consider. These are the most life-transforming truths that we can consider. So, what shall we say to these things? I think far too many of God's people even are saying very little. I was talking this morning about meditating. Talking to ourselves about the great things of God. Reflecting and ruminating upon divine truth. This is what Paul is calling us to do here. Think on these things. Consider these things. Ponder these things deeply. And let your whole life be a response to this sovereign grace of God. What shall we say? Well, last Sabbath evening, as I have indicated, we looked at five certainties. I'm not going to go through them again, because if I start preaching them again, we'll never get to this evening's message. Five great certainties, starting off with, God is for us. Never forget it. He's for us, He's not for our enemies. He's not against us. This notion that so many Christians have grown up with, that God, our Father in heaven, is like some great ogre standing behind us with a big stick, a club ready to smash us on the head every time we somehow err or displease Him. Oh, He is a God of holiness. There is such a thing as divine chastening, the chastening of a Father's love. But God is for us. Always. In every circumstance. He is for us. That's the first thing. Said I wasn't going to go down them. I'm very, very tempted. But I leave it to your good memory to supply the rest. Now tonight I want us to look at the other side of these verses that we have considered to extract the great certainties. And I want us to think of five consequences of the certainties of sovereign grace. We have seen these certainties. Now from them there are five great consequences or conclusions that we may draw. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. And the first great consequence is, and I'm going to use very brief headings. Last week, some people had difficulty picking up number 4. Dr. Dunbar was one. Mr. Carper was another. They will nod off to sleep. I am delighted that others got it. So I'm going to make them very brief and easy tonight. No subjugation. That's the force of verse 31. Who can be against us? Now, when you look at that, the very first thing that it suggests to your mind is that there can be no opposition of any kind. Dr. Barrett likes to take one of the great basic canons of biblical interpretation. To scholars and theologians, it's known as the analogy of faith. Mike Barrett's very erudite way of putting it, in language that you will need a great dictionary to be able to understand, is it can't mean what it can't mean. You ought always to remember that when you're studying your Bible. It can't mean what it can't mean. When you read this, it can't mean that there'll never be anybody rise up against you. Because the Lord Jesus said this is not only possible, it's certain. In John 15, verse 20, he said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." So it's not saying there'll be nobody rise up against you if you're a Christian. But what it is saying is that no opposition by man or by devil can ever reverse God's grace or bring a saint back under Satan's dominion. Remember that. No opposition can ever reverse God's grace or bring a saint back under Satan's dominion. That's the aim of opposition. The aim of the devil and his crew in opposing God's people is to cut them off from God. It is to make them become, or at least feel that they have become, destitute of God's grace. To convince them that God is no longer for them, that God is their enemy, and that they are lost. It is to suck them back into Satan's thraldom. Now, the promise is, no opposition can ever succeed in doing that. Again, remember this, that all the opposition we encounter in this world, all the suffering, all the affliction that may be heaped upon us, all the persecution of which the Savior spoke, is all part of the Lord's plan. I don't pretend for one moment to understand the details of the plan. I don't understand why at this point in time God is allowing hundreds and thousands of his people to lie incarcerated in prisons around the world. I don't understand why some Christians have had to watch their churches burn to the ground and their houses burn along with them. I don't understand why God has the blood of the martyrs to become the seed of the church. But I do know that this is happening. And I do know that God is saying whatever is happening is not happening outside of his decree. It's not happening despite his decree. It is not happening in any way that will overthrow his decree. He is the sovereign God. He is not a spectator. He is not merely a cheerleader. He is the supreme director. And while this does not in any way remove the responsibility of men, while men are still responsible for their own voluntary choices and actions, yet in his own inscrutable fashion, the sovereign God works all things after the counsel of his own will and in the fulfillment of his own purpose. And that purpose is the ultimate glory of his people with Christ. So that even the opposition comes into part of the all things that are working together for our good. Remember what I said when we looked at that text, our good is not necessarily our current feeling of comfort. Our good is not necessarily to be defined in terms that the world would say, ah, that's good. Our good is our ultimate conformity to the image of Jesus Christ, that He may be the firstborn among many brethren.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.